Well, we're going to return to our studies in John's Gospel, having had a few weeks break at the beginning of the year to study the book of Jude, or at the end of the book of Jude, to encourage us to remain faithful in our most holy faith, to build up ourselves in our most holy faith. So we, having concluded that short mini-series, well, we return to chapter 8, which you will recall begins with the controversial, I say controversial because there's an issue of the text in chapter 8, the woman caught in adultery. I have no doubt that it is truly part of scripture and is further confirmation that the received text is the correct text that we should be using. That's the received text in the Greek. So it begins with the woman caught in adultery and proceeds with a debate with the Jews about the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, his claim to be the light of the world, who alone could free people from sin. And of course, for the Pharisees, this was provocative because they rejected him as the Son of God. We could say proverbially, colloquially, perhaps, like a red rag to a bull. You all know that expression. When the Lord Jesus spoke, they could not bear him, and it provoked them to great anger, even an anger leading to them wanting to kill him, as we've already seen. But what we have in the passage today is a stark division, an identification of just two families that exist in this world, rather like you could say the book by Charles Dickens that was called The Tale of Two Cities. This could be called The Tale of Two Families. The destination of one family is heaven. The destination of the other family is hell. And the question that each one of us must ask ourselves at the conclusion is, which family do we belong to? Well, we've all heard that expression, haven't we? That he's usually said about a man, he's a chip off the old block. Have you all heard that expression? A person and behaves, looks like, has mannerisms like their father or like their mother. And there are some people you can recognize, you can say, you look so like the other person. They go, oh, well, yes, that's my mother, that's my father. So we're all used to doing that. And in this case, we have the Lord Jesus showing to the Pharisees that there is a difference between your natural family and your spiritual family. In verse 39, he said, they answered and said unto him, Abraham is our father. Jesus saith unto them, if ye were Abraham's children, ye would do the works of Abraham. But now, verse 40, ye seek to kill me, a man that hath told you the truth, which I have heard of God. This did not Abraham. But it sort of stands to reason that there was a problem here. You see, the Jews saw things, they thought they were being spiritual, but they weren't being spiritual. They could only see things through natural eyes. They thought that being related to Abraham was enough, and that set them out, because as a result of their parentage to Abraham, they, through Sarah, of course, they came through that line, that meant that they were specially chosen by God. They were a people above other races. So they thought that they would always enjoy this special privilege. They're like so many others. Well, we've already seen how in John's gospel this mistake was made by others. It was made by Nicodemus when he was told that he had to be born again. He thought that meant he had to have another birth. He had to go back inside his mother's tummy, which of course was not true, or his mother's womb, not true. But he couldn't see the spiritual. He was confused. Then we saw the woman who was at the well, and she thought when the Lord Jesus said that she would ask him for a drink, that this was talking she should ask him for water that would become in her a well springing up to everlasting life, that he was talking about natural water. And then in John 5, when the Lord Jesus confronted or went to see the cripple, and he said, when the Lord Jesus said, "Do you want to be made whole?" That the Lord Jesus was just speaking about this, helping this man into the pool of Bethesda, so that he could be first in when the angel came. But that wasn't what the Lord Jesus was talking about. He was talking about a supernatural healing that he alone could give this man. But this man was so focused on getting into this pool to be healed that he couldn't see what the Lord Jesus was saying. And then, of course, being whole meant much more than just being made strong and able physically to move around, but being spiritually whole, having his sins forgiven, because that was his root problem, as it is for all of us. And then in the following chapter, in chapter 6, when the Lord Jesus spoke about eating his body and drinking his blood, that he was literally talking about cannibalism after feeding the 5,000. When he talked about being the bread of life, the Jews thought he was talking literally, when it wasn't. It was spiritual bread. It's the word of God we need. And so you see how the Jews were operating on a different level to the Lord Jesus, because they were spiritually dead and he was spiritually alive. Well, they did not understand, going back to the issue of parentage, they didn't understand what it meant. Just as for you and I, you might be, you'll know something about your family heritage. You'll know what your parents did, what your grandparents did perhaps, what your great-grandparents did. Perhaps there's somebody famous in your life. Maybe they were spiritually well-known. Maybe they had been a pastor of a church at a time of great revival. Maybe they had been a hero during the war. There are many ways in which families have distinguished themselves in the past. And when we are their children or grandchildren or great-grandchildren, we like to relate ourselves. So we like to tell other people about our great forebears, and that reflects some glory, some reflected glory on us in some way. Well, this is what the Jews were doing with Abraham, as I've said. But the only problem is for them, and for us too, is that they haven't really gone back far enough. You see, I might have some famous relative in my family. You might have some famous relative in your family. But trace it back far enough, and where do you get to? You get back to Noah, because we all stem, in fact, from Noah. But Noah came from Adam. And we are all, in the end, of the seed of Adam, whether you are a Jew or a Gentile. And the problem is that Adam broke God's law. And he who was perfect became imperfect, became marred by sin. He no longer could expect to live a long life or an everlasting life. He did live a long life relatively. As I recall it, Adam lived, I don't remember if you can think of it in your head, he lived 930 years, which is a very long time. It's nearly 1,000 years. It's a long time to live when most of us, well, the average age is 70. And some of us will live to 80, some of us to 90, maybe even 100. I don't know. We will wait and see. But certainly not 930. It's a very old age, isn't it? But even then, his life came to an end because of sin. And the problem is that all his children and their children, children's children's children, also were marred by sin. And we need to ask ourselves, well, who was the originator of sin? So we know that Adam sinned, but where did the idea to sin come from? Well, it came from the serpent in the garden. And we know that that serpent was Satan. It was Satan in this serpent. We only have to go to Revelation chapter 12, verse 9 to tell us. And the great dragon was cast out, the old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. He deceives the whole world. He deceived Adam and Eve. He deceived the whole world. Of course, he deceived Eve first, and she then persuaded Adam to have the fruit, to eat of the fruit of the tree. Now, all the way back, we have the introduction, right back in Genesis, of these two families, these two cities, if you like, going back to my mention of Charles Dickens' novel, The Tale of Two Cities. Two families mentioned right back in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. Let me read verse 14 as well. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, that caused Eve to eat of the forbidden fruit, deceived her into eating it, causing Adam to eat it as well. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt eat all the days of thy life. We only know snakes who crawl on their bellies around. I don't know if any of you have seen a snake. Yes, one, yes, two, yes, three. I've seen a snake. Some of you perhaps are quite pleased not to have seen a snake. But we've never seen snakes with legs, have we? Because that was before the fall. We all assume, well, snakes have always been like that. They haven't. Once they were clearly very beautiful creatures. Upon my belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Now, you might just see this on a natural level. And there is a natural level to be seen here, because man and snakes have always been at enmity with each other. Not many people like snakes. Would you like to have a snake as your pet, crawling around your room, for example, getting into bed and coiling itself up at the bottom of your bed? Well, I think for most of us, the answer is no. But it has to be said that is not true of everybody. There are some people who do, for some extraordinary reason that I don't understand, have snakes as pets. And they will let them roam around their room. They will let them coil themselves around their body. They will let them hang like scarves around their neck. Now, for me, I would run 1,000,000 miles from that. I don't know about you. But in fact, they're not very sensible because these snakes do get out and they do cause trouble. They will sometimes strangle their owners or one of their owners' children. They're not safe pets because while a man might show great affection to a snake, the snakes don't always reciprocate. It's not a good idea. But you see, that's on a natural level. But there is also a spiritual level to see these two families. You see, do you remember the Lord Jesus and John the Baptist? We have to mention John the Baptist first. John the Baptist called the Pharisees, ye brood of vipers. Matthew chapter 3, verse 7. But when he, John the Baptist, saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, he said unto them, O generation of vipers, who have warned you to flee from the wrath to come? So do you see that there is in fact not just a natural way of looking at this verse about the seed of the serpent, but there's a spiritual application too. And this is what the Lord Jesus said in Matthew chapter 12, verse 34, again to the Pharisees. O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And then again, Matthew chapter 23, verse 33, ye serpents, ye generation of vipers, how can you escape the damnation of hell? So do you see here that the Lord Jesus is referring to these Pharisees as snakes and vipers? When we go back then to our passage, we see that in verse 40, but now ye seek to kill me, a man that have told you the truth, which I have heard of God. This did not Abraham. Ye do the deeds of your father. Then said they to him, we won't go on to that, so we'll come back to that in a moment. But look, if you look at verse 44, ye are of your father, the devil. Now, remember that the devil and the serpent are one and the same. So the seed then, the children of the serpent, spiritually, are these Pharisees. Well, that's all right, you might say. It's okay, they're Pharisees, but I'm not a Pharisee. Well, just have a look at what the Lord Jesus says, goes on to say in verse 44, ye are of your father, the devil, and the lusts of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. Well, may I ask each one of you, starting from perhaps the oldest, not sure who that is, to the youngest, I know who the youngest is, and I can say to you, have you ever told a lie? That is, have you ever said something that you know was untrue and you've deliberately done it? Have you ever done it? If you never have, put your hand up. You have never told a lie. I can't see any hands. Isn't that funny? None of us have put our hands up because we've all lied. Well, who is the father of lies? We've just read about it. The devil. So if you have ever lied, you show that the time that you lied, whose child you are. Not talking about your natural line, not talking about whose natural child you are, but spiritually, whose child are you? You are the child of the devil. You are no better, I am no better, we are no better than the Pharisees. Just as bad. We show that we are of the same family. And that's because we are all tainted by sin. Not our own sin, but the sins that we have inherited. And we don't just go back to our father, our grandfather, our great-grandfather, our great-grandmother, whatever. We have to go all the way back to the beginning. Because when Adam died, he died because of his sin. But when Adam died, we all died in him. We all became subject to death. And there is a passage in Romans, which tells us this. That's Romans chapter 5, verse 12. It sums this whole position up, I think, very well. John chapter 5, verse 12. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Let's just look at it the other way around. Do babies who have not yet been born die? Do mothers sometimes give birth to dead babies? It's very, very sad when it happens. But we all know it does happen. It's got a word, hasn't it? Miscarriage. Some of us might have had brothers or sisters who were miscarried, who were born dead, or died shortly after birth. Why should they die? They've never actively sinned. They've never said, I'm going to tell a lie. They don't know the meaning of a lie at that age. But the Bible says that it's because sin has come over the world, it's because of sin that death has come over the world. And so if a baby dies, then that baby must be a sinner. But it can't have been because of his own sin, because that baby has never known right or wrong. So it must be because that baby has been affected by the sin of Adam all the way back. Friends, you and I are infected by that sin. Just as Adam sinned, so we all sinned in Adam. It's as if we were there in the garden at the time, and we all bear the consequence. So you might think, well, I'm not 2,000 years old. But in one sense, you are not 2,000, that'd be 6,000 years old. In one sense, you are 6,000 years old, because if you think about it, Adam had within his loins, within his body, he had the seed of the whole world. Have you ever thought about that? The seed of the whole world was in Adam's loins. And that's where we all come from. So in that sense, we were all in Adam when he sinned. And we've all been tainted by that sin, all born in sin, as David said in Psalm 51, verse 5. He said, in sin hath my mother conceived me. We just get to that verse. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. So we were all born sinners. We were all just like these Pharisees. We all did the deeds of our father. But then they said to him, monstrously, we be not born of fornication. And what were they meaning by that? They were having a go at the Lord Jesus. Because as you know, the Lord Jesus was born before Joseph and Mary, his natural parents. I say that was natural mother and his father, but not his father in a normal sense, Joseph, were married. And the reason for that was because his father was not Joseph, but God. So he replies, this is a really important verse. Jesus said unto them, if God were your father, ye would love me. Why? Because he's saying, I'm related to God, for I proceeded forth and came from God. For I proceeded forth and came from God, neither came of myself, but he sent me. Now he's saying, I believe, two things here, two really important things. He's saying, I'm the Son of God. You see, he said, I came forth from God. He wasn't talking about his birth into this world. He was saying that my Father is God in eternity. I came forth from God. He's not saying I was created from God. God cannot be created. He is always there. And as we see in this chapter, he said, before Abraham was, I am. In verse 58, verily I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am, because the Lord Jesus is God. So there was never a time that he didn't exist, but he came forth from God. See, when you're born, you're not created. You've always been there. He was brought forth from God, from his Father. You see, as God, he's always been. But you see, in terms of his relationship to his Father, in eternity, he was brought forth. He was begotten by his Father. His Father begat him. The Lord Jesus was begotten. He was generated. He came forth. You and I come forth from our mother, don't we? When we're born, we come out of the womb into this world. We have to have our umbilical cord cut off. That's when we're born. The Lord Jesus, as God, as the Son of God, in eternity, in some mysterious way that we'll never understand, he came forth from his Father. And that's what he's saying here. And he said elsewhere, I and my Father are one. So he says quite understandably, if God were your Father, if God were truly your Father and not the devil, you would love me. Of course you would, because he is the Son of God. And if you love God, you'll love him. You know, people say, don't they? Well, any friend of yours is a friend of mine. And so you would say to that, now, if your father is Bill, Bill's a good friend of mine. So you're my friend too. And that's what people say in this world. And the Lord Jesus is saying, if you love my Father, I come from my Father, I'm one with my Father, you would love me too. But of course, they weren't from their Father, God. They were from their Father, the devil. And so they hated the Lord Jesus. And it says, neither came I of myself, but he sent me. And there the Lord Jesus is saying in verse 42, he was sent into the world. He was sent into the world by the Holy Spirit, into the Virgin Mary, into her womb. That holy thing is spoken about in Luke chapter 1, verse 35. If I've got that somewhere, or we'll turn it up. Let's just very quickly look at Luke chapter 1, verse 35. Time is passing. We won't be much longer. Luke chapter 1, verse 35. And the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. Now, friends, you and I will never be called holy in the womb. Only one, the Lord Jesus Christ, because he was without sin. He was placed into Mary's womb as a little baby and born perfectly, the perfect Son of God. So these Jews were being shown that being a child of Abraham was irrelevant unless you did the things that Abraham did. Abraham loved God. He, we read in verse 56, he could see the Lord Jesus from afar off. Amazing, isn't it? thousands of years before the Lord Jesus was born, but we read this in the words of the Lord Jesus himself. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. He saw the Lord Jesus. And friends, to be a friend of God, you've got to be born again. You've got to change your allegiance from your original father, the devil, to your true father, God. If you want to go to heaven, you need to transfer families. You need to transfer your allegiance from the family of this world, whose father is the devil, to the family of God in Jesus Christ, whose father is God the Father. Have you made that change? Have you crossed from one city to another? Are you Zion's children, or are you Satan's children? That is the question for all of us. And if you love the Lord Jesus Christ, that is evidence that you belong to him. Verse 47, he that is of God heareth God's words. Do you read your Bible? Do you rejoice to hear the Bible taught? That is what the children of God love to do. If you don't love God, you won't want to hear his word. You'll never come to church. You'll never read your Bible, because you are not of God. And so, friends, we come to a conclusion of this passage with that simple question: which city, which family do I belong to today? I hope that each one of us can say we're Zion's children. We belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. We've been washed by his blood. We've been born again. And may we show that we are truly Zion's children by the way we treat other Christians and by the way we love God. We love the Lord Jesus Christ. We love his word. We read it. We talk about it. We memorize it. And we try to live according to it. Amen.